Thank you.
Well, you're not going to vote for Bill, right?
Item number 26 is from the Department of Human Resources requesting authorization to incorporate ASME collective bargaining agreement provisions into and amend various sections of Milwaukee County Code General Ordinances that pertain to compensation and fringe benefits. This was referred back to the committee by the board in March. And it's been laid over, I think, since then.
Just so I'm clear, is the substitute before us, or is this one before us?
No.
Substitute would have to be introduced first before it could be considered.
It has not been introduced yet. Mr. Grady?
Well, I'm here to answer questions on the substitute if you were going to move to that. Short of that, I think Ms. Mitchell can address the...
Well, why don't you just tell us what the substitute does? And then
I didn't know whether that had been handed out to the committee.
Yes.
As I take it.
It was provided for them on their desk.
Okay. All right. Well, then I will back up just to lay the ground, the context. The county board adopted, I believe, memory source in February, an ordinance 17.015 that essentially said that you're going to, because we are anticipating ASME will be decertified and those employees will become non-reps, we're going to incorporate into the ordinances most of the collective bargaining agreement with ASME so that we can sort of preserve the status quo until we figure out what we want to do with those various items. So that's essentially where we are today with respect to the ordinances. However, because of the court case in Madison, as of today, ASME is not decertified and is not immediately in danger of that happening, subject to appeal. The district court, the federal district court in Madison, ruled that the recertification process required by Act 10 was unconstitutional. And essentially threw that out. So because recertification was not required, decertification didn't happen. So as of right now, ASME along with the other unions are certified bargaining representatives. That is on appeal, could change, but that's something you should be aware of as we sit here today. What is in the substitute, in prior cycles of the committee, I guess I'm only going to speak for myself. I got the impression that this was a pretty big package to swallow at once. And there was a lot of hesitation because of how large this was. So at agenda setting, I discussed with the chairman whether there could be, we could bite this off in pieces. So what you have in front of you is my proposal. This is mine. It's not from the Director of Human Resources. It's not from the administration. This is purely from the Office of Corporation Counsel. Take a stab at trying to take a piece of what was originally in front of you. So what this does is changes that ordinance that was adopted in February, 17.015. And so all the pages that follow the first page incorporate into ordinance what I'm going to call the financial aspects of the DC 48 contract, things like shift differential, weekend differential, uniform allowances, all those kinds of direct compensation issues. So what's left and what is done with 17.015 is to say we're going to incorporate now going forward into the ordinance what I would call the non-compensation portions of the collective bargaining agreement that relate to primarily seniority rights. So if you look at the list on lines 68 through 78, you'll see the things that will continue to be preserved in ordinance, again, for the time being, and are preserved there because they struck me anyway as the stickier issues, if you want to call it that. Overtime assignments, vacation, seniority, work week, shift selection, promotion, transfer policies, layoff and recall, all those things are tied into either seniority or what I would call more complicated human resource functions. They aren't, at least directly, pay issues. And so this allows those to be preserved, again, until you decide to do something different, whether that's next cycle or a subsequent cycle. But then in the subsequent pages, incorporates into the ordinance all the other financial aspects. So if you look at, for example, starting in section 2, which is line 114, that's the section dealing with reallocations. So we incorporate into the ordinance the reallocation provision. Let me say that anymore. We use the ordinance as it exists for non-represented employees for reallocations now for AFSCME. Section 3 is temporary assignments to higher classification, which is 17.085, starting at line 139. Again, essentially does the same thing with that subject. When you get to section 5, starting at line 183, you start talking about shift differentials. And again, this incorporates into the ordinance the contract provision for AFSCME members. There's language added to make it clear that this does none of this applies to deputy sheriffs or firefighters. You'll see extra language throughout this document where it says this section shall not apply to positions under section 111.71(m) of the statutes. That's the definition of public safety workers, which is deputy sheriffs and firefighters. Because not only can you not change their contracts by to change a provision from X to Y, you can't add anything to their contracts without bargaining. So that's the reason that language is added throughout this document, so that to make sure we are not affecting deputy sheriffs or firefighters by these changes. I won't go through every page, but as you go through this, unless you want me to, you'll find...
Well, if I could paraphrase what you're saying, is that you attempted to take out what you thought were the non-controversial items and put them in the substitute.
Probably the better adjective, because I suspect we'll have speakers from the union, is the less controversial items.
Less controversial, okay. Point well taken. Why don't we have, before we get into the discussion, why don't Penny Secor from AFSCME wants to speak to this? Why don't we hear what AFSCME has to say, and then we can direct our questions to both.
Okay.
Penny Secor, AFSCME District Council 48, Chairman, Supervisors. Why are we reinventing the wheel? This ordinance is already in place. We have an executive directive that changes all the things that he talked about with the pension changes, the health care pensions, going FSLA for overtime, getting rid of the full-time contract employees. All of those things have already been done. What this one person now is doing, and please understand, is that there have been no discussions between Mr. Grady, between the department, and the employees that this is going to affect. This is all just someone writing this down and their ideas. Now, again, like I said before, we know that not everything is going to stay the same. But I thought that's why you guys passed meet and confer, so we can talk about these things that haven't been changed by the county exec or by your order already. Those things are all covered that he's talking about under here. It already talks about seniority. It already talks about promotion. It already talks about vacation fix. All of those things are already done in the ordinance that was passed previously. So what we have before us now is a departmental document that nobody has had any input in. It hasn't had input from you all, hasn't had input from us, and now it's being put before you to agree to it. And if you're going to be the body to agree to it or not agree to it, then I would really like to go through it page by page, because that is what this needs to get understood on the changes that you're making above and beyond the changes that have already been made in the ordinance and by the director, by the executive, county exec in his executive orders. And those are very readily available. He has made no discussions about that, and there are many things that changed. And it's outlined in the letter from December 7th, 2011. And then it is reiterated again in the ordinance 17.015. All of these things are already covered. What you have before you now is a document that I've had no input, none of my members have had any input in, and as far as I know, you all haven't either. I would ask you to reject this and just keep the status quo ordinance in place with the county exec's executive order. We're trying to reinvent the wheel. This does go after, and he is correct, when I talked about it last month, I talked about seniority. That was one of the issues. Because I asked you at that time if you want me to go through the whole thing page by page, or do you want me to just hit one or two highlights. Seniority was one of them. And what they had done before is they kept the seniority clause in there, but then everything that had to do with seniority, they eliminated. The promotion, all this kind of stuff. Now he's put that back in. But why are we reinventing the wheel? This is already taken care of by ordinance and executive directive. We would ask you to reject this document and go with the status quo. If there are changes, if the department or you all feel that there are changes that need to be made that we need to address, well, let's address them together and let's do it in meet and confer. That's the whole idea of what that's about.
Well, I guess less controversial is a relative term. Do you have anything to add from Human Resources about this, and then we'll have questions for everybody?
I have a lot to add, but I'm going to try really hard to just keep it as concise as possible. And I won't lie, I'm extremely frustrated about the situation we're dealing with right now. And I just want to remind everyone, this has been in front of the supervisors since February, late February. So it's been almost 5 months. And it is a big document, and there's a lot in it, and it's a big issue. But I just wanted to let you know, to say that every month that goes by and every day that goes by that we're not agreeing to something to move forward with that's consistent across our large employee base, it stymies, not on purpose, but our ability to effectively communicate with employees and move forward with things like this handbook, which hopefully will bring a lot of clarity for everyone in terms of pulling things together. And my concern now is if we take a few things out, this is what will happen. We'll have a large employee base with a common set of rules, but then there will be this subset who have certain rules that are the same as the rest and certain that are different. And I'm asking you and just urgently asking you to please consider approving this in its entirety. And if we're recommending going to what our non-reps are already in the process of on a day-to-day basis enjoying, and we don't have complaints or problems. We'd like this to go through, and if we have problems later, let's talk through them and deal with them. But I'm very concerned that we're just going to keep talking about it month to month to month to month, and then we can't see progress. And I'm just letting you know, I'm very concerned, and I just please, please consider, I implore you, looking at this in its entirety. Thank you.
So I saw a lot of hands before, Supervisor Johnson.
Well, I've got a number of questions to ask.
Go ahead, and then I just want to see who else. Okay,
on page, I want to start because I've written down a lot of things that for which I want answers. I'd like to have some answers. On page 180, at the bottom, MCGO 17.14, subsection 7, subsection BB. Hourly employees hired on emergency appointment will achieve regular appointment at the bottom of page 180. They will receive regular appointment after 500 cumulative hours. And they have to have a competitive examination. And it goes from 180 to 181. The impact of recommendation from 180 to 181. Is this something that is happening now, Director Mitchell?
My page numbers are a little different, and I'm sharing with him, so I'm just trying to find
okay.
it.
MCGO 17.14, Section 7, Section BB.
I think we're looking at pages 7 and 8 of
yeah, 7 and
this
8.
Document from yes. February 27th of yes. 2012. Of 12256, page 7.
I'll go by those pages. I'll go by those pages. Pages 7 and 8, where it says, my question is, it says that after 500 hours, persons have to take a competitive exam. as opposed to going forward after the 500 hours? Is that the practice now?
So trying to look at the language, I just want to make sure I'm understanding it.
Okay. Well, Supervisor Schmidt, again, I'm looking at this as this is, I'm just answering your question. I'm not trying to, I have a concert this afternoon, so I'd rather leave whenever I need to leave, but I also think this is important enough to ask the questions. And my question is the practice now after 500 hours that an exam is given to those who would be candidates for a regular appointment? That would be page 7, the bottom of page 7 and the bottom of page 8 for the document that was provided to the county, to the committee members.
Were you able to locate what he's referring to?
Yeah.
My question is that the procedure now? After 500 hours to have a regular appointment, somebody takes an examination?
I think the answer is no.
But what's the rationale for taking the examination after 500 hours? Did not the person have interviews in order to become hired?
We're trying to find the source of this because we weren't recommending it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No, I can reference. Look at 2.021 hourly employees. 2.021 hourly employees.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I believe the answer to your question is under the union contract, an hourly employee is hired outside of the civil service process. If they work 500 hours in that job, I believe that they then, I don't want to say automatically get the job, but they don't have to test for the job.
But now they would have to test for the job.
They would have to be hired, an examination in the sense of a civil service application process.
So that's what other, that's what,
that's what non-reps do.
That's what non-reps would do. Okay. Thank you. Under 2.04, overtime. OT will only be paid 4 hours work, not credited in excess of 40 hours per week. Is that consistent with the Federal Labor Standards Act?
Yes. This change actually has already been done by the board in a prior action.
Okay. Okay. In those departments where formal policies exist with respect to overtime assignments, such policies shall not be disturbed. Now, what does that mean? I mean, I know within a department, if there is a set of rules.
2.05.
Well, that's the current. Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Chairman, that language you're reading is the actual existing union contract. That's the parts of this document that are not in the boxes are the actual union contract from 2007-2008. So that's what the union contract says in 2.05 sub 2.
Okay. Because the impact of the recommendation, the county maintains?
The impact is that whatever those past practices are in departments will not have to be followed by departments if they don't want to. They will be able to formulate a practice or a policy. The collective bargaining agreement bound them to follow past practices. Accepting seniority from that. I'm not talking about seniority now. I'm talking about any other kinds of practices.
Would that practice have to be in writing?
Whether it would have to be followed by That would be the idea of the handbook and the human resources.
And I talked to Director Mitchell about this, and I believe Mr. Session was present a number of times. where there's arbitrariness by some people. And there can be practices, I mean, there can be well-worn practices, and we're looking at this, looking at what does happen and seeing how palatable it is. And I asked about for those practices in various departments, divisions, sections, whatever, do they have to be put in writing so that somehow arbitrariness? I've been here almost 25 years. Some have been here much longer than I have. Some have been here a shorter period of time. And I've seen in the public sector and in the private sector that just because I have the authority means that I can mess over you if I want to. And so my question is, are these practices codified?
First of all, I have to correct something I said. In the substitute that is in front of you, it preserves this section of the contract in ordinance 2.05. You'll have to address it sometime down the road, but right now the substitute preserves the union contract 2.05 in place.
Okay,
so that would not be a change if you adopt the substitute.
My colleagues are bear with me. I have two more and three more. Page 197. This would be section 2.21. No, it's section 2.20, I'm sorry. Pursuant to the recommendation, the one above it, pursuant to the recommended changes in MCGO 17.182 pro rata benefits, employees working 500 hours or more will be eligible to accrue vacation, sick leave, holiday time, and personnel days. I guess I looked at that. It may not be the same, but I'm looking at the same length of time as the other section I Maybe you don't have to. I was just going to compare something, so I'll skip that part. Page 215.
Can I just comment on this section?
Yeah, go ahead.
Again, the substitute ordinance does preserve subsection 3 of the union contract, which is the seniority practice, the practice of granting vacation by seniority. It eliminates the rest of these things because they're already in ordinance in terms of how many hours you get per year and things like that. But it does preserve, again, because that's a seniority practice.
And I appreciate that because I've heard so far that there have been instances where I want to do what I want to do.
Well,
I want this person to have a vacation before some other person who has much more seniority than that person. So thank you very much. And 215, that would be section 2.34, layoff and recall. No, actually, it's the one before that. I'm sorry. I'm throwing you off. Transfer policy. It's, It's 3.6. What I'm looking for, DHR will no longer maintain a list of employees seeking transfer to other positions within the county. Employees may apply for transfer during time positions are posted for recruitment.
Supervisor.
On the county's internet site.
Again, Supervisor, I know we're working off a prior document. The substitute preserves 2.36 in existence, at least for the time being. So
I guess we have a little confusion because Ms. Mitchell said, don't do the substitute.
Right.
So at this point, the substitute isn't quite before.
Well, yeah, the substitute, I just got the substitute. If we had had it before today, then maybe I would.
I'm sorry.
Concentrated on that. I'm concentrating on what I had in front of me.
So
DHR will no longer maintain list of employees seeking transfer to other positions within the county. I understand you might want to be more efficient, but on the other hand, county employees want to know what comparables exist. And if they've been put on a list, then they want somebody to tell them that remind them that they're on that list. And this is something that you know and can be communicated to them.
Yeah, and thank you. And I'll just share that given the fact that every job we have open is available online, employees can go out there every day and see what's available and apply for it. So from a technological perspective, I think we're already there in terms of making sure that the awareness is there.
Okay.
So it's a shift from let's keep following up with employees on what's open to they can keep looking.
Well, then let me ask you this, Director. Has that been the experience that employees are looking as frequently as they need to, can, in order to get something else?
We have people applying all the time. And I think the onus is on all of us. If we're interested in something, let me go check it out. You know, that's pretty common. So I think there's, I mean, I can't comment on our volumes, but we have people applying all the time from inside the county.
Okay. So the activity is sufficient enough for you to think that this should apply.
Yes.
Okay. And the last one is page 218. This is section 2.39, jury duty. Now, I'm reading this, and I don't understand what it means. Current practice is that employees reporting for jury duty are paid at the base rate of pay unless the employee is attending through vacation, during vacation, off days, personal days, and unscheduled times. Of course, we understand that. What I want to have clarification is, fees should no longer be paid to eligible employees through the treasurer's office for jury duty. That means that jurors, employees will no longer be compensated. Is that what it means?
What this means is that county employees get paid their regular wages while they're on jury duty.
That I understand.
And so rather than having the treasurer pay them $16 and have them turn the check back over to the treasurer's office.
Yeah.
We just won't have the treasurer's office issue with the county employees.
Okay. And this has been in effect for how long? Many, many years?
Well, for non-refs, it's been in effect.
It's actually been in effect for all employees. And we did a review on it. This has actually been occurring for quite some time now. It was just that there may have been a few cases where an employee was on jury duty and got the check and had to reverse it, but I believe all of those things have been worked out. So everybody is now on the same page. Even as well.
Okay, so they'll get paid, but they will no longer get the $8 a day.
Correct.
Okay.
Which they shouldn't have done. They would have had to reimburse the treasurer.
And they shouldn't have done that?
Well, they were getting county pay. They were getting their regular salary, so they were giving back their jury duty pay to the treasurer in place. So that shouldn't be occurring anymore. So.
Okay. Okay. That's it for me. Thank you.
Supervisor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious, Mr. Chairman, do... How is seniority handled in this substitute item here? You know, as I believe my colleague Supervisor Johnson attested to, there have been issues with seniority being wholly overridden and ignored in the past since the new work environment has been in place under Act 10. Can light be shed on that, seniority?
What? Under the substitute, it preserves the seniority rights as they exist in the union contract. If you look at lines, again, it starts on line 52, but through the bottom of that page, this is the county ordinance that preserves in ordinance portions of the collective bargaining agreement. And the portions that are proposed to be continued forward under this ordinance are the A through K at the bottom of that page, one of which is E, seniority defined, and then vacation, you see, is C 2.20 sub 3. That's the section that says vacation selection by seniority. If you look at D 2.21 sub 5, same thing. It's holiday and personal selection by seniority. Promotion policy, transfer policy, work week and shift selection, again, those are all seniority embedded. And so those are the provisions that give seniority rights to those various kinds of benefits. And those are proposed in the substitute to be preserved, until you take further action. Ultimately, the county board will have to decide. AFSCME has different rights for these kinds of benefits than non-REPs. And assuming AFSCME remains certified through the court action, do you want to maintain two separate systems? Do you want to have non-REPs have these rights without seniority and AFSCME have them with seniority? You want to have them both be seniority is gone, or do you want to change non-reps and make non-reps seniority based, which you don't have now? You basically have three, you have a myriad of options, but at least three. But the point is, at some point, you have to address the question because we don't bargain these issues anymore, whether you want all employees to be covered by seniority selection vacation or only not only ask me or whatever. But the point is, it preserves this in the substitute for that future day when you can make that policy decision.
And Mr. Chairman, is the meet and confer, we recently approved that. Have the workers had a chance to look at what's being proposed here, the substitute, or have they seen these proposed rules? Perhaps the CCLR could testify to that.
Chairman, supervisors, I haven't seen the substitute. I think it just came out. No one has had a chance to look at it. In our union meetings, we have gone over the February document. And one of the biggest problems, and I think it was brought up, is that there are different subsets. Well, you're always going to have different subsets because you have the Deputy Sheriff's Association. They're going to be different than everybody. You have some contracts that have expired. Your nurses are different. Your technical people are different. AFSCME's different. They've always been different. And when you talk about the non-reps, they've always been different, too. You have always worked with multiple subsets. And the problem that I have a lot with this substitute, why would you need a substitute resolution to already say, oh, the ordinance that you already have is okay? You're having a substitute to say that what's in place is going to stay. The problem that we have is that any of these changes that have made, and we've had our contract in place for, you know, decades. We've gone over every bit of that language. Each side is clear on the intent of that language. Now we're having language proposed that our side has never had any input in, that's written down, but is the intent the same as what's written, or is the goal different than what is written? We have never had any of those kind of discussions to understand. So when we read this, we put an intent on it. When they write it, they may put a different intent on it, but we've never had those discussions to say, okay, what does this really mean? These are the first times that I've heard of what this language really means. That has not been done.
Can I just ask a question here? So, maybe I'm understanding this correctly, but the substitute is simply a subset of this other document. Would that be correct? You sort of culled some things out that you thought were quote unquote less controversial, and then maybe we could adapt.
Essentially.
But Ms. Mitchell doesn't want to do that. She says, let's do the whole big thing. And let's not do the substitute. Right? Am I correctly analyzing where we're at?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So I don't think the votes are there to do this big thing, would be my guess. But we can keep talking and see where we get. Because this isn't probably happening today. I don't know if this is happening today either. But, you know, I think Mr. Grady made, in his mind, a good faith effort to say, let's get off the dime. And you're saying, I don't want to get off the dime unless you do it my way right now, and that's not likely to happen if I'm reading the tea leaves here. Supervisor Lipscomb, and then both Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thought you were done.
I think you're reading it pretty good. I appreciate the substitute, although that still doesn't necessarily mean I'm ready today because I'm reading it on the fly. Throughout the meeting and then now, but clearly I'm not ready on the larger item. I'm sorry that it's languished as long as it has, but it's languished as long as it has for the same problem, because we've still never engaged our employees in a substantive discussion, and because there's no desire to go line by line through it here in committee. And I believe that if the administration wants to move on it, then they should embrace the meet and confer process that we started down. The problem is what we adopted was just to begin a process or to create a process, and we haven't actually adopted that process. But I think to begin giving the administration piece by piece all kinds of things then they have no incentive to move on a meet and confer process cooperatively, and that's where we've been, is that they've dragged their feet on that, and so we've gotten no closer.
So would you like to make a motion?
I would make a motion to
help hold this over and ask the administration to meet with AFSCME and go through it line by line so everybody knows where we are.
Yeah, I mean,
set up meetings with AFSCME so we don't have the same discussion in September. Nobody's ever talked to us about this.
Yeah, I mean, so I would lay over the item. I think that they're, again, I guess in making the motion, I'll give my advice, which is, I think your best bet is the substitute, but you need to talk and so I don't know that we can direct them to actually meet with AFSCME, but I think that's clearly the advice, is that you should have some conversation, and certainly it's my request. But
how about if we put in the motion? I'll just maybe add to your motion if you think it's okay. That you ask the administration to meet with AFSCME and go through the item line by line and then report back to us in September on those meetings. They could choose not to do it. But
sure. Are we talking about the substitute or the original?
I think at some point they got to go through the whole thing. It's your motion. So hey, whatever you want. I mean, I'm willing to say either one, but I think at some point they got to go through the whole thing.
Well,
whichever one you want.
I'll leave that open to them, but if they want the entire item, then they sure better meet on the entire item. But I think if they want what they're most likely to get some action on in September, then the substitute should certainly be part of that discussion.
Thank you. I have a question and a comment. Trying to get the more less controversial. I thought one of the biggest stumbling blocks we've talked about for a long time was the whole grievance procedure. That's not in the substitute.
Grievance has been handled separately.
It's not on the agenda even.
Okay,
this time
so I won't talk about it. But yeah, that's an important element. So let me summarize, be very candid, but also soon. In my conversation to Ms. Mitchell, if you don't mind if I talk about that, we had a long phone conversation just a couple of days ago. Supervisor Liskam, I think it talks to the point that you were bringing up here too. So Ms. Mitchell has expressed the fact that, well, it's been months and months and months. And I said, well, the reason for the months and months is what we just talked about. As I said, and maybe now we appreciate labor relations, everyone, because it's been labor relations to job to go point by point by point. Supervisor Johnson, you bring up a lot of good points. We could have spent 2 hours. You could have brought up many more points, I'm sure, also. The point is that's what labor relations is supposed to do. That's what's been going on for many, many years, okay? They go through all these things. So we got this down pretty good. We got the template. We know what the issues are. We've been over these things a long time. The problem is we got befores and afters here, and we're in limbo, okay? Is AFSCME certified? Wasn't certified for months, and all of a sudden it is. Could it be reversed? Yes. So what are we doing? We're going to do, and I'm very much for to be consistent about these subsets. Now, there are different subsets, Ms. Mitchell. You understand the private public sector. We got many subsets. We got all the civil. It really makes it more complicated and time-consuming. But at some juncture, and it only seems the only fair way to me, otherwise we're going to go back and forth. We'll change to AFSCME separately from contracts. We've got different departments. At some juncture, we got to get the handbook. We've talked about this for months, too. And the reason I told Ms. Mitchell that we're not getting anywhere, and you'll spin your wheels the rest of the time here, too, and we're spinning them today again, too, is because, A, you haven't talked to the focus groups. I'm not asking for it. I'm glad you didn't put in your resolution to say you've got to go through every point with AFSCME. Come on. Okay, this has been done in the past. You got to have focus groups to get some ideas at least. Okay? And then you go to civil service rules. Okay, we go over. You've got some input from us. You know what the unions are asking for, basically. Okay? Get some focus groups. Who's always most effective? We always learn in our political world. Better ask the people who are most effective, or else, well, what are we doing here? Yeah, you have to ask the employees what's going on a little bit here, okay? So that's a reason we're not ever going for it, because you haven't asked the employees. You got to do focus groups, minimum, okay? And then you have to take a stand. I mean, you got, and I would vote for the substitute today, at least to get the ball rolling. I know that my colleagues probably are not there, fine, okay? you know, we got to get the ball rolling. I mean, we're never going to agree on everything. We're never going to get, you know, all of us to agree on every single thing we're going to talk about here. Who is in charge? Well, HR is supposed to be in charge. It's about time HR stepped up to the plate, did the things they've been talking about for months. Okay, easier said than done. I understand that, hard to get everybody together, but you got to do it. It's your job. Okay? So, get some focus groups. Get some idea. You've heard our conversation. You've been in the ball game before. You've got Mr. Session helping you now. You got all these people who have been through the wars already. They can give you a good concept of what's fair. And I am very big for, I hope we get to the point, fewer and fewer subsets. We cannot keep going these different subsets and representative versus non-representative. Those lines are getting blurred day by day. Okay? And we're not going to be there, then we're going to be there. Then we're going to have a judicial statement that we got to go back and Act 10 takes priority, you know, okay, for 4 more years. So we can change the whole handbook again then. We're going to have, go back to the subsets we had before. So the point is, most contracts are coming due. Most contracts aren't. So another year, we should all be basically getting on the same page, all right? Then it's time that HR and administration took the ball with all our inputs and the focus groups and come back to us with the document, a substitute resolution that says, here are the way it is. We've taken input. We've listened to you. These are the decisions we have to make. And I presume, maybe people don't like this, but I presume we're going to move more and more to the center. We're going to move more and more where we're not talking about reps versus non-reps and this versus that, that there seems to be common sense kinds of rules and little points that we don't have to argue about. Besides, we don't do the negotiating. We never do the negotiating here, you know. Otherwise, we're doing all the negotiating. We don't have the time to do that, nor the expertise. Nor we got many other things to do, too. It's their jobs, particularly HR, to do the job. They got many things going on. We got a new department. We got new people. Let's go. Easier said than I understand. But we're never going to come to a solution until HR comes with the administration, maybe in a couple months, maybe it's a little bit longer. I'd like to see it run budget time, of course, and say, here are the rules. Here's fairness survey. Here's grievance that can work for everybody. You know, the subsets are going to drive us crazy. Fire and police, that wasn't our fault. That was the state, Act 10. They didn't do fire and police, so they're going to be out of the loop for a while. And maybe we do things as time goes on to help ameliorate that, too. We've done some things. We asked the deputy sheriffs. If they wanted more money in the budget, then they'd have to, you know, go along with some concessions. Remember, we did that in the last budget? So there are ways to skin a cat here, all right? So please, let's, I know this is all not going to pass today. How can it? All right? So I hope this makes some sense. I hope you take it in the spirit it was given. I don't have all the answers, but some things that just seems clear to me, you know, we've got different sides here, different constituents. We all have workers we want to stand up for. But at some juncture, we're going to have to come together, and not everybody's going to be happy. And by the way, that's the history of international politics. It's the history of bargaining in the history of labor. Is when both sides are a little unhappy, then you have an agreement. We don't want one side to, you know, say, okay, I've got everything I want. When both sides are unhappy, and I hope we're getting to a point where both sides are a little unhappy.
We're getting there.
Because we'll get something done then. I'm done.
So we have a motion by Supervisor. Well, I want you to read the motion.
Okay. We're going to lay this over and ask. Now, this is incorporating the Supervisor Cullen, Chairman Cullen part, or your advice. Which one do you want? Do you have advice that they need to talk with the employees before it comes back, or ask the administration to meet with ASCII on a line-by-line on either both the regular or the substitute.
So which one?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
You never put the substitute resolution up, right?
Sure.
Thank you,
no,
Mr. Chairman.
Not really.
Could I ask for a compromise? Could we do both? Because I can tell you this. If this comes back before us in September and HR has not sat down with the union, I'm going to move rejection. And I think at that point we'll all be so sick to death of this that it will get rejected and we'll throw the baby out with the bathwater and the whole thing will be done. So in order for me to vote for the layover today, I need to know that HR is going to sit down with AFSCME. And for me,
I'm only interested in the substitute. So I don't know if you want to go line by line through the substitute, because that whole other document, A, I think it's really unnecessary, especially in light of all of the things that we've had before us today that are all screwed up and people not without job descriptions, or they're doing one job but they're described as another, or they're not. I think there's so many other things that HR can be working on at this point, that to sit and go through the telephone book line by line is, I'm not interested in it. I think the substitute resolution handles most of that. So that's what I'd like to propose to my colleagues if they're amenable.
So are you making are you trying to amend the motion, or what?
I'm asking, I guess, Supervisor Lipp's going to make a friendly motion to friendly amendment to his motion to make it the substitute resolution and not the entire document.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to get a sense of maybe perhaps one option. If I were to remove temporary, if I were to remove my layover for now, if the substitution is the only thing that people are interested in, we could move substitution. And
you mean the substitute amendment?
We could move away the substitute over. That would effectively push all the, that would push the original aside. Is that what I'm hearing about?
No, I don't want to pass the substitute. I'm just saying I'm more interested in seeing if there's something that can be salvaged from that than there is from the entire.
Did you want to speak to this? Because we're right out.
Yeah, I want to say that given that we passed meet and confer, to meet and confer, I would think that it would be productive to for the administration to meet with AFSCME. Since AFSCME, it's been stated by Ms. Secor, has gone over this stuff. And so there's this exchange of information. And if you want to talk, and then if you want to talk about the substitute resolution, go ahead and then come back in September with whatever is that.
Supervisor Alexander, then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question for Ms. Mitchell. I know the end. One of probably many end main points to doing this or the substitute is to be able to move forward and get a concise employee handbook applicable to all out. Do you see prospectively any issue with being able to get an employee handbook out if in the end it is the substitute that moves forward?
I think it'll be difficult to publish a handbook that isn't complete. I mean, we can review, is there a way to do like half a handbook? Or we've got about three quarters of it done, and we're kind of waiting on these pieces before we can go to the employees, get a reaction, make the necessary tweaks, and then put it out. That's the order in which, and just as a reminder, months ago when I started putting this forward, I was the one who said, we need to talk to the employees. That's my plan. So I just wanted to remind you, when I was hearing, like, we need to vote on making her talk to employees, the whole point of this is to talk to the employees. I have felt unable to do that because I haven't had a reaction from some of you on some of this direction. So those are scheduled for August. I don't think the invitations have gone out just yet. But I guess to answer your question, I am very concerned about releasing the handbook and the time that we said we would do it in.
Thank you.
I'll work on that.
Again, as somebody who was an employee in a county department, as reason to go as this April, I know how frustrating it is to not have an employee handbook, to not know whether you're represented by a union or not, just with the confusion that went down legally with Act 10 in the past year and a half. And I know the employees across the board are seeking that. On the other hand, I agree with Ms. Secor that a majority of our employees would be very upset if a lot of things just came down the pipeline without their at least thoughtful discussion of it, if not some sort of agreement, even if that was unhappy agreement on both sides in the end. So I guess I want to go on record saying that I'm supportive of the original resolution, and I'm willing to support it, but I also think that it's very important that we reach out to employees before moving forward with that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Grady, you have something to add?
Yeah, just a couple comments. First one is a process issue. I think if you aren't ready to take action on either the original or the substitute, I would just make the motion to lay over. The administration is hearing what's being said. Whether you give them advice in a motion or not, I think the motion is just to lay over. And so that being said, just a couple comments. One is just to remind you, this is just AFSCME. We, rightly or wrongly, took the big one first. You have four other unions who have union contracts with lots of provisions in them, not nearly as many as AFSCME, but lots of provisions in them, that if you don't go to a uniform system for all non-public safety workers, you will then have to, we'll be back, if you want to preserve union benefits in ordinance, we'll have to do that for each union. So we'll have to do it for the attorneys, the trades, team co, machinists, and then the nurses when they conclude at the end of this year. So, I mean, that's the ultimate issue for the board. And what Ms. Mitchell is telling you is, I want to go to one system for all employees who are not public safety workers. And what I'm hearing Ms. Secor say, and obviously she can speak for herself, but is that we think we should preserve the benefits that AFSCME's had in the past. You can preserve the nurses' benefits, and you can preserve the attorneys' benefits. There's no reason we can't go forward with lots of subsets. And that's a call you will get to make. That's what we're asking you to do here. The administration is asking you to go to one system for everybody who's not a public safety worker. And that's the ultimate big decision here. Act 10 prevents us from negotiating with unions. Doesn't mean we can't talk to unions. That's a different question. Meet and confer is completely legal. But nobody is required to get the union's agreement, whether it's the county administration or the county board, with any of this. And so the point is, yes, getting input from employees is a good idea. I think Ms. Mitchell is not opposed to that at all. Is in fact in favor of that. Meet and confer process hasn't been formulated yet. The policy has been adopted that we want to move to that process. It hasn't been formulated. But again, it doesn't prevent administration from talking to the unions to get their input. But the point of saying we must reach agreement, or whether it's happy or unhappy, is actually illegal at this point. We don't reach agreement with unions. It's prohibited collective bargaining. Mm-hmm. So I just want to be clear about that.
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
So just to clarify the motion, it is a simple layover. I think you've gotten nine different versions of advice in terms of how you treat it. I think this is a perfect opportunity for them to test out a meet and confer process. So it's just a simple layover motion.
Okay. On the motion, take the roll.
Supervisor Haas.
This is motion for layover?
Just yes. Layover.
Aye.
Schmidt.
You bet.
Romoles. No. Lipscomb.
Aye. Alexander. Aye. Stanford. Aye. Johnson. Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to layover
approved 7-1.
Yes.
Now this layover is
until
September.
I mean, yes. That's all we have, correct? That's it.
That's it.
Come on. You get to look for more. Maybe we shouldn't have taken the vote so fast.
Are we adjourned?
We're adjourned.